Good morning. Kind of got cold last night, didn't it? Turned the heat on. It's good to be back. It's good to be able to stand here and proclaim the Word of God. I love Sunday school. Please take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. And put your finger there and turn to James chapter number 2. Numbers 13 and James chapter number 2. I will read a verse of scripture this morning for introduction from 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's a really in-depth verse here by Apostle Paul talking about not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament. He says all scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. It means it's good for us. It can help us. It can teach us doctrine. It can help us when we sin. It'll help us to repent and know we're doing bad. It'll correct us. And it'll give us instructions. I think a problem today is we're getting our instructions from other things other than the Word of God. I want to challenge us this morning as we study in our own time to prove Scripture with Scripture. Now, a lot of people are trying to prove Scripture with science or prove Scripture with some heretic's information. But I want to challenge you to prove Scripture with Scripture. It all links together. Okay? It does. Now, that's not my opinion. That's going into the Word and reading it. You will understand, and it'll help you if you prove Scripture with Scripture. You see, the last 3 months, we've been in the book of Leviticus, the book of Numbers. Like, I don't want to read any one of those books, do y'all? I mean, like, it's some of it's boring. I mean, it really is. I mean, the book of Numbers, a bunch of people's names that you don't understand, like, what does this mean? I've always dreaded reading from the book of Numbers until I started proving Scripture with Scripture. You see, the verse I just read to you out of 2 Timothy means that all Scripture is inspired, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I believe this morning the Word speaks, God speaks. Okay? I mean, we got to believe that. I mean, if we don't, we might as well just go home. Because this book is real. God is speaking to us through His Word. We shouldn't sigh or hold our heads down when our pastor says, turn to the book of Numbers, or turn to the book of Habakkuk, or when in our daily Bible reading we find ourselves in one of these minor prophets that we've never read before and we probably can't even find the book. We should be looking to prove Scripture with Scripture. Number one today, why should we do this? When we prove Scripture to Scripture, it will point us to Christ. Amen. What about that? I'm not trying to give you anything new today. This is simple. I want to point you to Christ. The lesson I'm going to read today is entitled The Mission of the 12 Spies, and I did testify the other Sunday night a little bit and foreshadowed this lesson. I'll read it, these verses rather quickly. Numbers 13, verse 1, this is Moses. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses commanded, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent from them the wilderness Paran, All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachor. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Elgal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshua, or Joshua, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. Of the tribe of Asher, Sethor, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nahibi, the son of Oshai. Of the tribe of Gad, Gil, the son of Malachi. Now listen, I mean, those names, I butchered them. And they don't make sense, all right? They don't. But I'm going to tell you what, there's two names in there that are very important, okay? And as I stated last Sunday, can't you hear Jacob's prophecy coming true as you read each name of the tribe? Now, you'll have to go home today and read Genesis 48 and 49 because I don't have time to do it. But we should all know this story because we studied about it last couple weeks, that Joshua and Caleb came. Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim and Caleb from the tribe of Judah. And when you prove Scripture with Scripture, you're going to understand that these men come from two tribes that God wants to use. Okay? These two men are the difference makers for the people of Israel for the next 40 to 60 years. Yes, sir. And that's a big deal this morning. Jacob told Joseph in Genesis 48, truly this younger Ephraim shall be greater, and his seed shall multitude of the nations. But in Genesis 49, Jacob told his sons about Judah. And he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh is the Messiah, is Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You see, Jacob blessed Ephraim, Dad, you preached it before, under the shadow of the cross. And Shiloh, Jesus, will come through the seed of Jesus. And as Moses is reading these names, he don't have a clue what God's going to do. Brother Rodney told us last week that God's in control of this whole thing. But I'm trying to get you to understand, as you're reading Scripture, understand that God had a plan. Yes, and we should be reading into that, understanding, proving Scripture with Scripture as we read these names. Not only will proving Scripture with Scripture point you to Christ, but number two, proving Scripture with Scripture will provide confirmation of the Word of God. Yes, sir. You see, this story of the 12 spies, it's awesome. I loved it reading it as a young kid in Sunday school, listening about all the giants and the big fruit. All that was interesting and fun to me, but it's way more than that. You see, this morning, can someone remind me of how many spies gave good reports? You see, God had that plan. What was the number? The spies that gave good reports. Two. Numbers 14:38 says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Everybody else, all them other 10 and their families, they died. They're dead. Okay? They didn't know that. I mean, I don't know if Jacob knew that when he prophesied all these names, but God had a plan. Now, I wouldn't want to have been part of those other two families. I don't know about y'all. But Judah and Caleb, their families lived because of their obedience. All right, again, we're just proving Scripture with Scripture. All right, you fast forward 40 years later now, Joshua's in charge. Okay? He's going to take over the land of Jericho, right? In Joshua chapter number 2. Now, what was the number that Joshua chose, Brother Scott? He chose two spies to send to Jericho. Now, was that a coincidence? It was not a coincidence. Because Moses had sent 12 and that number didn't work. They only needed two. All right? So Joshua knew this number, two, would work. So again, we're just proving Scripture with Scripture. Joshua's in charge. He's sending these two men. And again, he didn't make this number up. This is so exciting this morning when we can prove Scripture with Scripture. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Anybody know anything about Rahab? Can I tell you this morning that God has a plan? You see, proving Scripture with Scripture will confirm Scripture. It's so funny how God will use people we think He shouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't have picked Rahab. I mean, she's not a good person at all in my eyes. I wouldn't have picked her. It don't make sense to me. But you see, that's not what God does. Rahab the harlot this morning, that was her title. But that didn't stop God from helping me confirm His word through her testimony. You see, don't miss it this morning, because people will argue that some parts of the Bible contradict itself. It don't. Especially when it comes to writers of certain epistles in the New Testament. For example, Apostle Paul and James, the half-brother of Jesus, have been said by some writers to be at odds with one another and disagree on salvation by faith or by salvation by works alone. Now again, this is something that I've struggled with for years. Or I'm just being honest. Like, this is something I didn't really want to tackle because I didn't want to go down it, because I didn't understand it. Because again, we've got to prove Scripture with Scripture to confirm God's word. And that's what I want to help you with this morning. I just want you to know that Rahab's testimony has helped me, and I want it to help you. So go ahead and turn to James chapter number 2, and we're going to quickly finish. I had a paper. Here we go. James chapter number 2, look at verse number 21. Now again, we're talking about proving Scripture with Scripture this morning. Verse 21 says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed him unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Now James doesn't stop with Abraham. This is what is so awesome this morning. "Likewise, in the same manner, just like Abraham was, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So again, let's understand this. MacArthur helps us and tells us that this does not contradict Paul's clear teaching that Abraham was justified before God by grace alone through faith alone. That's firmly taught in Romans chapter number 4 and in Galatians. And we're not disputing that. And James is not either. James cannot mean that Abraham was constituted righteous before God because of his own works. James already stressed that salvation is a gracious gift. He did that in chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. In the middle of chapter 2, this disputed passage, James quotes Genesis 15:6, which forcefully claims that God credited righteousness to Abraham solely on the basis of his faith. Yes, sir. Okay? The work that James said justified Abraham was his offering of Isaac. Okay? An event that occurred many years after he first exercised faith and was declared righteous before God. Okay? Instead, Abraham's offering of Isaac showed the genuineness of his faith and the reality of his justification before God. James is emphasizing the vindication before others of a person's claim to be saved. James' teaching perfectly complements Paul's writings. Salvation is determined by faith alone and demonstrated by faithfulness to obey God's word and will alone. So simply putting this morning, we're proving scripture with scripture. We started in Numbers 13. We're all the way in James 2, okay? Because we got from Joshua to Caleb. We got from Joshua to the two spies to Rahab the harlot, okay? So now Paul is teaching in Romans 4 that Abraham was justified by faith before God. Amen? That's how it is. We're justified before God by faith. Now James is teaching that Abraham is justified by works before his fellow man. That's the difference this morning. That's what I couldn't get my head around all these years, and I want to help you. We're justified by our works before each other. We see each other's works this morning. That's the point. You see the difference? This is the point that James is making. Works are the way his faith can be seen and verified as real saving faith. Okay? The only way that I can know really that I'm genuinely redeemed is to see a pattern of my godliness. That's the evidence this morning. The only way you can know it too is in your own life, okay? And it is this justification before men that James has in mind. Paul was emphasizing justification before God. James is emphasizing the vindication of a man's claim for salvation before others, okay? It's that simple. So James then simply says in verse 24, you see that then by works a man is justified also and not by faith only. That's only part of it. It's not enough just to have faith. There must be faith and the result of works. So we could say it this way, that by works a man is vindicated, not by faith only. So Abraham is a classic, one of the best illustrations of salvation by faith before God and salvation made evident before men.
Amen.
Okay? But James didn't stop there. Okay? And that's why we're trying to prove scripture with scripture. Because I'm really not like Abraham. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, when it comes to the totem pole, I don't fall in the Abraham category. So James says, likewise, we got somebody else over here, and her name is Rahab. Okay? Because verse 25 says, likewise, in like manner, and I love these words, that's a knockout punch. The Greek word is homeos. In the same way as Abraham, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? In like manner, didn't this woman of the worst kind demonstrate her true salvation by what she did? Was not the harlot justified by her works? Is that not a powerful contrast today?
Amen.
Now think with this on me. Jane chooses another person because she is so remarkably unlike Abraham. And I am too. I am not like Abraham. Abraham was a Jew. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a man. Rahab is a woman. Abraham, he's a pretty good man. Rahab is an evil woman. Abraham, a noble Chaldean. Rahab, a degraded Canaanite. Abraham, a great leader. Rahab, a common follower. Abraham, at the top of the social order. Rahab is at the very bottom, y'all. I mean, every possible contrast is there. Okay? Abraham, the beneficiary of much divine leadership and divine guidance. Fire, you told us years ago, leaving the Ur of the Chaldeans. I mean, this guy had something. He was a friend of God. Rahab, a total pagan. A nobody. A nobody. Abraham, having received direct revelation from God, Rahab have only received very indirect. God hadn't visited her. I mean, he hadn't. And I got scripture to prove it. And yet, this morning, when it comes to scripture, and you go to Hebrews 11, the list of the heroes of faith, oh, Abraham, he's there, and we'd expect to see him. He's there, and he needs to be there. But Rahab's there, too. She's there this morning. When you go read Matthew chapter 1, you read it this morning. I promise you, when you read it, there'll be a harlot in there in the genealogy of Christ, because Boaz had to come from somebody this morning. He had to come from somebody. Ruth needed a near kinsman redeemer, and God had a plan. And he used this harlot from nowhere to be Ruth's near kinsman redeemer. Is that not awesome? I mean, isn't it? Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. Going back to what Jacob told his sons about Shiloh is going to come through Judah's lineage. God had a plan. And again, we're just trying to prove scripture with scripture. And again, well, I don't like Rahab. I mean, why would God use her? I don't know, y'all. That's who God wanted to use. He used her. Go read Matthew 1. Go read Hebrews 11. The Messiah came through the loins of Rahab the harlot. What are we doing today? We are proving scripture with scripture. Quickly, in Joshua 2, I'll read it to you. And Rahab said unto these men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and the terror is falling upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Here it is. This is what I'm saying. She didn't have direct revelation with God. She tells these spies in verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and thou shalt have and deliver our lives from our death. We're just trying to prove scripture with scripture. This is Jacob's prophecy coming into fruition. Amen. There had to be a seed. There had to be a womb for the Christ child to come through, for the Messiah, for Shiloh. Amen. And Rahab is fitting in that lineage right here. That's what's doing. She didn't get direct revelation fire. She heard about it. She heard about the Red Sea parting. She heard about that. She heard about the miracles that happened in Egypt, and her heart was pricked, and she was convicted, and she knew the God she was serving was not the God of heaven, was not Yahweh, was not Jehovah God. She knew that. This scripture details content of her faith, which was the basis of justification before God. And she demonstrated her works by protecting the messengers. And she did this with great personal risk for her life. I guess my question this morning is, what are we doing for the Lord today? Amen. Does our fellow man see our works? Are we demonstrating our works? Are we doing anything for the cause of Christ? Is Josh Dagenhart doing anything for the cause of Christ? Are we taking up our cross? I mean, this is serious business this morning, okay? Now, I want to get a little personal. Now, I know Anita's not here yet, I don't think. But I told her the other night when she testified how much that was a blessing to me. And I've seen it in Anita Pennell's life. Anita is allowing the Lord, allowing her to help her family. And she's taking care of them. She's providing for them. Okay? Now, does she have to? No, she don't have to. But God is using her. That's her works. I'm seeing Anita Pennell's works the way she's helping her family. okay? And that helps me. But see, I've seen Anita Pennell do other things than just that, okay, throughout the years. She's been faithful, okay? And I just wanted to say that this morning. That's what we see other people's work, and there's people's names that are coming to your mind right now as I say Anita Pennell. Now, there's other people this morning. Miss Hilda sitting right out there. I remember all those years that Miss Hilda Johnson would bring Brother James right down here. Every Sunday, Miss Hilda would take care of Brother James, take him to church, take him home, and care for him. And those are good works that other Christians are seeing, okay, to help benefit the body of Christ. And I know it's COVID, and I know we're all frustrated, and I know we're mad at politics, but it would really help all of us, me included, if we could see each other do some good works. I mean, it would be really helpful. I mean, it would. It would build up the body of Christ. And again, I can't think of help of Sandy Millsaps. You know, she's at the throne this morning. She's resting in Jesus. But you'd see her every time she was in her place and she was faithful. Her family never came with her dad. She came to Beulah all those years by herself. I saw that as a young Christian, as a young child. I saw that here, that she was faithful. That's her works. I don't know what else she did, but she was faithful to church. And that helped me, okay? It really did. Now, I know Candace is not here this morning, but Taylor's here. And I'm going to tell you what, these events that I read to you about Abraham having to sacrifice his son and Rahab going to die, those were very catastrophic events that happened in their life, and they proved their salvation by the work. And Taylor, I want to tell you one thing, man. You are proving to me that this thing is real. You have been through the worst storm that I never want to go through, and your wife has too. But you are proving to me that this salvation by works is real, that this faith is real. And I want to go on because I see your dedication to the Lord and I see new life this morning. God has blessed them with another child. That is the work of Christ today. That is works today that we can see, that we can have faith that Christ is moving, that it's real, that we can do the same, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what storm we go through, that we can prove ourselves. People are watching us. Amen. That's what James is telling here. That's what he's our sanctuary this morning. I can see others. There's others that you're thinking about this morning that's helped you, that's encouraged you. You're showing your faith alive and well. Church, keep on keeping on. Amen. And I can't help but think of my friend, Brother Jeff, over there with his Bible. He'll text me every morning and said, I had my church today. He's over there alone, but I'm glad he's not alone. I'm glad the God of heaven's with him. I'm glad I get encouraged by the way God is helping him. And one writer put it like this, Dad. He says, faith alone justifies, but the faith that justifies is never alone. Father, we thank you and we praise you that we can prove Scripture with Scripture, and it'll point us to Christ. Lord, it'll help us to prove and confirm, Lord, confirm the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for Abraham. Lord, we thank you for Rahab today, the way her testimony helped my life this week. Lord, she went through so many things. Lord, she had a word. That's all she had. She heard about the miracles you had done. And that was enough to change her life. And God, I pray that you'd help us. You'd help us demonstrate works. You'd help us demonstrate what you've done for us. Help us to give. Help us to give financially. Help us to give our time. Help us to give a smile. Help us to talk to our people that are struggling. Help us to just shake somebody's hand. Help us to be faithful. Maybe that's somebody's calling today. There's others here just like Miss Sandy that are faithful. And Lord, I thank you for that. God, I praise you for who you are. I thank you for loving us. I pray our people would prove Scripture with Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.